This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Hello again, everybody, and welcome back to Wells Tech, a show where we talk about technology and ministry and where those two intersect. This is episode 404 for Tuesday, August 4th, 2015. Thanks again for joining us, and thanks again to Sally Draper for joining me. How are you doing, Sally?
I'm doing great, Martin. Nice to see you today and excited for the kickoff of a summer series. We waited till late in the summer this year to start our summer series. It's been kind of a tradition every year that we do that, but we had other things going on.
Busy this summer, yeah.
Yeah. So now that August has arrived, we're going to spend 5 weeks talking about imagery, all things related to imagery. So I'm excited for it.
Yep. How was your travel back from lovely Michigan?
Travel was great. No clouds in the sky, so that makes for smooth airplane trips for sure. I had a long layover in the Detroit airport, which is pretty futuristic. The terminal I was in had a monorail kind of running up overhead, and it's a really long terminal, so I managed to add some steps to
I saw that Facebook post.
Yeah, cool. Hit 10,000 that day, so that was good.
So what do you think of Synod Convention, which was last week? For those of you that maybe didn't tune in, we were live from Saginaw, Michigan, and Michigan Lutheran Seminary.
Yeah, for me personally, always a thrill to be at Synod Convention and to see the work of our Synod. I wish everyone had the opportunity. On the other side of that, it's a whole lot of work, and I was pretty tired by the time I got back home. But all in all, it was a blessing to be there.
Yeah, there more and more there's technology that's really central to some of the work that's done to get through the resolution process, which you managed artfully. There are all kinds of AV needs, and I think the whole process we've been able to shorten that over the years because of some of the technology advancements that we have in place as well. So pretty low-key convention, but always a celebratory flavor or spirit coming, starting even with the opening service and then all the way to the closing service. So it's a unique experience, and I think everybody would benefit from, if not being there in person, at least viewing some of the things. Jim Huebner's paper on Ephesians was wonderful. There were just many opportunities to rejoice at the fact that we have a synod. So.
Yep.
But we're back.
And I know,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, Martin. A lot of those archives are going up on our Wells Vimeo account, so folks can watch there as well.
Yep. All right. So we're back at episode 404, and as you mentioned, our summer series that we've entitled "Imagine That." So why that topic, Sally?
Great question, and I think right off the bat, we could say that a picture's worth a thousand words. And that's true as we try to communicate the gospel in the various ways that we do that, be it your public ministry or your individual outreach efforts to a friend. Images go a long way these days, as evidenced by the popularity of Pinterest, of course, and all the images that you see across
all
social
media. First 5 minutes, that's pretty good.
Yeah. So just a powerful communication tool, and one that I hope that congregations and schools are taking advantage of.
Yeah, we've talked off and on, mostly on, about the importance of imagery and media throughout the course of our podcast. And we've reviewed even books that talk about the importance of it. One that comes to mind is Shane Hipp's book, The Hidden Power of Electronic Culture, where he kind of methodically and very psychologically goes through some of the important points to remember as you're considering its influence, how the internet in general influences ministry, and how to maybe think about it.
Yeah, I even have his book pulled up on my computer. Imagine that, from the Google Scholar website, where you can look at books and things. And just a little bit of reading here for you guys. It says, the rise of image-based communication in our culture weakened our preference for abstract and linear thought patterns in favor of more concrete, holistic, and nonlinear approaches to the world. So he's talking about the shift from reading text to absorbing communication with imagery. The establishments of black and white categories resulting from typography gave way to a preference for grayscale gradations of mystery and ambiguity that resulted from communication through images. Regardless of what is being depicted in a photograph, the form itself evokes in us a particular pattern of intuitive, holistic thinking and emotions, the exact opposite of the patterns evoked by the printed word. Here he says, we've all heard the cliche, a picture is worth a thousand words. Implied in this sentiment is the idea that images communicate information more efficiently than words. In some cases, this is true, but the saying misses a greater truth. It assumes that one medium can function interchangeably with the other. Thus, they are often put in competing positions. But in reality, neither medium can accomplish what the other can. They're fundamentally different modes of discourse that create fundamentally different outcomes. So definitely, Shane was recognizing the shift to more of this image-based communication, but also not discounting the fact that words can certainly express things in ways images can't.
Different tools, different opportunities for use, and that's what we're really going to explore. We're going to explore that image side, what it can do for you, obviously not to the exclusion of the written word. I think you don't have to look too far to recognize that images in the digital world can be extremely powerful. You don't have to look any further than social media. Many statistics we've talked about over the last few years about the popularity of posts that have images versus those that don't. Many more hits on those. We talked to Josh Renner maybe 4 or 5 years ago, who primarily posted a picture and a very small amount of text. And just his anecdotal observation, or maybe even scientific, that there was a lot more traffic when an image was included. And I think there's a lot of statistics that back that up as well. So that's what I've encouraged, Sally, when I've talked to webmasters, people who manage social media strategies, is make sure you don't forget to try and include some kind of imagery to draw the eye, to connect the word and images, just to touch the emotions, as Shane said.
And our churches and schools have lots of opportunities for communicating, not just via social media or their websites, but they have print material, they have display material, perhaps event-related material where imagery plays a big, important part. Many have display screens, maybe in their narthex now, where they have messages and things up, or screens included in the worship service. And all of those are crying out for great imagery, for well-designed communication that includes imagery.
And I'm seeing more and more organizations figuring this out. They want to incorporate that. They recognize the importance of kind of unifying themes, and that there are many moving parts to that, many different ways to do that. And it's not all that easy. This can be really, really challenging to find sources, because there are a lot of complexities to where to find the image, to modifying the image to fit your purpose, to even the budget. How much do you spend on this?
Yep, and I think that tackling this topic as a series, where for the next 5 weeks we're going to try to explore pretty much all those different angles of working with imagery, you know, sources and at least some basic editing skills, design skills, layout skills, things like that, is going to be a powerful tool that we can reference and point people to as they begin to tackle this, kind of like a mini course on church and school imagery, And that's what we envision, at least. Hopefully it'll turn out that way.
And hopefully include things like copyright and whether stock photography is better than, you know, actual photos, how to capture good photos, and then the whole how to tweak those photos for your purposes. You know, what size are best for the web, dimensions, format, how to enhance them, talk a little bit about color palettes. So a little bit lighter fare for this series, but, you know, a lot of information that we're going to share. So I think the first area that maybe we want to cover, which we've done in the past, but I think it's important to revisit the many resources that are out there, is stock photos or stock imagery. All the photos that you include or all the imagery that you include on a website or a piece of material does not, or in a, you know, a Facebook post or a Twitter feed, does not have to be something that you take yourself. There are a lot of huge databases that provide some great stock imagery that you can use.
Yeah, Martin, this is one of those shows that I'm going to be challenged to type up the show notes, because a lot is kind of an understatement. I would guess we have at least maybe 30 to 40 links to share to different stock imagery sites of different flavors and things. So you'll definitely want to check out the show notes and explore for yourself and see where it leads you, because we've put together a lengthy list for you. And I think a good place to start would be Christian-based imagery specifically. And the one that pops to mind right away is a website we've talked about many times called FreeBibleImages.org. And they have both, you know, line drawings, kind of the GIF format that's more cartoony looking, as well as actual photography of different biblical scenes. And they have them organized by books of the Bible, by different characters or people in the Bible, and by theme. So you can come here and perhaps look at all the Christmas themed imagery as well as illustrations that they have available for you. And these are completely free to download. They have them in different formats, so you can get just the imagery or you can get them as PowerPoint slides, a lot of different options there on the Free Bible Images website. So a great place to start if you're trying to find anything to support Bible stories. They definitely have a large selection, and they're always adding to it as well. One more to mention, and we've talked about this one on the show, is creationswap.com. And this is kind of a mix. I think there's some fee-based stuff as well as free items here, but you can actually upload your own and share it as well. And many of the sites, especially the Christian sites that we'll link to, have a variety of formats. So they definitely offer photography, but they also offer like motion sequences and things like that. And here you can see that some things are fee-based, like this image, if you're interested, is $10, but others are free. And then they also have a premium level that you can sign up for and have like a subscription to the site and get access to the premium. But if you want to filter down to the free ones, you can just uncheck those options and see different free photography they have available on their site. And there's a pretty good selection here at creationswap.com.
And I would say, if they are fee-based images, the range is today fairly reasonable. You mentioned a $10 image. That's maybe even the top, you know, of, depending on your usage, kind of the top of the scale. You can find a lot of sites where it's much less than that. If there is a fee, it's a buck or something like that. So if you kind of map that out, budget a little bit for that, and just kind of the perfect image that's going to go along with whatever it is you're trying to put together, whether it's a, you know, a sermon series or Bible study series or VBS or whatever it is. Don't shy away from some of these fee-based sites, because they can be pretty reasonable.
One more that I'll mention is lightstock.com, and we actually tried to set up an interview with these guys, but schedules didn't permit it. Maybe in the future we'll have them on the show, but I know this is one that Missionary Mike Hartman had recommended to us, lightstock.com, and here you can create an account. Again, most of their content is fee-based, but they do have weekly giveaways. If you sign up for their newsletter, they'll send you an email once a week, and there's a free image and a free vector and sometimes a free motion video as well from lightstock.com. So if you just begin to accumulate those over time, you'll have a nice collection of images just from their free-based.
I like their tagline, faith-focused, cheesy, free stock photos, because there are a lot of cheesy photos out there, and you obviously want to have a good presentation, and that's one of the draws of using stock photography, is finding very well-lit, nice, natural photography that you can use, and it won't detract from your message, but add or enhance it.
Yeah, and photography that you don't see on someone else's website the moment you click around the web or whatever, because some sites are so popular, then the same images are used in multiple places. A couple more in this Christian category for stock images, stockchurch.com and sharefaith.com are two that I hadn't been aware of until I did some research for this show. And then we've talked before about Worship House Media and Centerline New Media, both sites that are probably more focused toward the short video clips, the motion slides and things like that that you might use with worship projection. But they do have some still images available as well. So a pretty good selection, I'd say. If we were doing this show maybe 5 years ago, we wouldn't have found all of these resources in the Christian-specific category.
Right.
So that's encouraging.
We should probably just dip our toe in the water of those that aren't necessarily faith-based images, because there's a lot of usefulness in some of these other repositories. In fact, many, many more photos than you're probably going to find in a Christian repository. But depending on what you're looking for, you could find some, you know, the perfect fit for an image there, both free and fee-based. Sally, of all the free resources out there, what's your favorite?
Well, my go-to site currently is Pixabay, PIXABAY.com, and it says they have over 4,300 free photos, vectors, and art illustrations. So maybe if I'm looking for a clock, I would just type it here on Pixabay. The thing about Pixabay is that they do have sponsored images from Shutterstock. I'm guessing we'll talk about Shutterstock when we get to the fee base. They're very well known, and the first row of search results are sponsored images from Shutterstock. But beyond that, they have lots and lots of clocks for me to choose from. So if I find one I like, I can just click on it. And they have different sizes that I can download, all of them free. The small, if I select small, will just download directly to my computer. If I select medium, I'll get a little CAPTCHA pop-up, and I'll have to type in something to prove that I'm not a robot. And if I want the large or extra large dimensions, they'll require me to log in, you know, create a free account and log into their site. But it's still all free. It's just that they want to track more of who's downloading those large and extra large sizes. Most of the time, medium or even small satisfies my needs, especially for web-based imagery. I don't need anything real large to do what I want to do. So sometimes if I have a Bible verse that I'd like to create some imagery for, I'll just come to Pixabay and search and find the perfect image really quick and easily.
And what you do from there, we're going to talk about in a future episode.
Yeah, so tune in for that. One more worth mentioning that I go to often is Morgfile. Martin, do you use Morgfile?
I do, yep.
Clock. I'm searching on clock here.
I think even more images on Morgfile than on Pixabay.
Yeah. And again, they offer some pay for images. They're in different tabs along the top. The one that comes up automatically is the free stuff from Morgfile. So if you see something that you like, again, you just click on it. And this time you just click the download image and it downloads directly to your computer. I don't think there's any CAPTCHA or anything. It just downloads right to your computer just like that. So pretty quick and easy to do. You can certainly log in and track your favorites or things that you like, and, you know, read more about the licensing around it and things like that.
most of these sites, and we'll definitely talk about this in the fee-based section, but even in the free, there are lots of different ways to filter and sort. You can search, obviously, by keyword, but sometimes you can even search by physical dimension. Is it portrait or landscape? You can search by color. So if you're looking for something with a white background or something with a specific color that would match a theme of whatever it is that you're doing, you have that capability. Even file types, so if you're looking for something with maybe a transparent background, so you're looking for a specific type of PNG file, you can search on that. All kinds of options, which when you get to this many images, really important, mm-hmm. because, I mean, you could just page through and page through from some kind of alphabetical listing, but really the search and some of the tools to filter are really important in some of these sites.
One more I wanted to mention, Martin, before we move away from the free sites, and there's a lengthy list of free sites we'll include in the show notes, but this one's called picksforlearning.com.
This one I'm not familiar with.
And it's actually specifically for teachers to use in the classroom, students to use in the classroom. So when you come here and do searching, they are it's a collection of photos specifically copywritten, per se, for use in education settings. So they give you the right to do what you want to do with them. If you, look into their about and their rules and things, they're not saying that you can use them outside of education settings, but you certainly can use them for education settings. So teachers might want to just bookmark this, especially if they want their students to do projects, because this is a quick and easy site to come to and have confidence that the students aren't diving into something that should be, should not be used because of copyright purposes. But easy button, just click download, and just like that, you've downloaded the image.
One thing you could note on this site, but it appears on others, is sometimes they categorize images by the type. So in this case, they had a listing for photos. They also had something called vectors, and maybe not all of our listeners understand what vectors are. Photos are made up of individual pixels or dots. So you're going to get more of a photography feel. Vectors are illustrations, usually made with some kind of illustration tool. And vector images are usually smaller in size, but infinitely sizable without loss of resolution, because essentially it's just ones and zeros making up or redrawing the image, no matter how large you get it. So when you see that word vector, that's what you're going to get typically in illustration, line drawing, something like that, versus a photo, which is going to be pixel-based and will have a limit on the size you can expand it to. So if you're looking to maybe print something, half page big, and the image is maybe only 640 by 480 pixels, you're probably not going to get great resolution. So you have to pay attention to that.
Good point, Martin. I guess while I'm on the educator kick, I'll just make mention that Google Drive also has built-in stock photography searching. So let me just do a quick screen share, if I can find the right screen to share. And I'll open up a new Google Doc. I think this works in Slides as well. If I go to the insert command and say I want to insert an image, I certainly have the ability up here along the top to upload from my own computer or do it by a snapshot or URL. But at the end of that, there's a search option, and they give you three different ways you can search, the last being stock imagery. So you'll notice this drop down here, switch to stock. And so from right here in your Google Doc, you can search for whatever term you're looking for, select it, and easily incorporate it into your doc. So another trick teachers might want to share with their students is they're having them do work out in the cloud on their Google Drive, potentially. It's just integrated easily.
And I'm assuming that those are copyright safe, so there's fair use for anything that comes up in that search.
Mm-hmm. It does say results shown are available for personal or commercial use only in Google Drive and may not be independently redistributed. So okay.
There you
personal
have it.
Or commercial use. So very good.
Should we go on to the fee-based services, Sally.
Yeah, this is the area where I don't have much experience, Martin. Maybe you have more experience than me. I typically don't like to pay for things. I'm cheap, I think. But there are some great fee-based out there. We've already mentioned Shutterstock. Do you have a favorite in the fee-based category,
Martin? iStock Photo is my favorite, and I believe they are under the umbrella of Shutterstock. I don't even know what the number is. In fact, I have some photos on iStock Photo that I've submitted and are for purchase. But if it's not there, it probably doesn't exist. They just have just a wealth of images. So if you kind of hit a stone wall and haven't found that perfect image, this might be where you would go. And again, like I mentioned, fairly reasonable. You have to buy credits for some of these services. So before you can purchase an image, you have to have enough credits in your account, and you buy so many credits, and then it decrements that credit count. You can find, depending on the size and the quality of the photo, sometimes it's $1, sometimes more. But again, if it's that image that you need, probably worth the investment. Plus, you get to reuse it. So it's not like you lose the access to it. You pay for it, and then you can keep using it. They have video clips, audio clips even, just all kinds of things that are available. So.
And it says it's now by Getty Images. I think that was something that
Oh, yeah, that's right. Really, I'm sorry. I said Shutterstock. It's Getty Images. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, all kinds of categories here. It also had a note on the front page that you could join, and they would allow you some free images as well. So kind of like the Creation Swap or Lightstock that I was talking about earlier, where if you're a member, then you do get an occasional free image available to you.
Yep.
So good stuff. One category I added, Martin, was mobile, because more and more I'm doing work on my phone. I think maybe I lost my mobile link. Let's see if I can get it back. Work on my phone, and I just recently came across the fact that Morgfile actually has a mobile app. It's called #Quest, or #Quest. And the concept is that every day they give you a hashtag challenge. And if you want to participate, you create this Quest account. When you upload, it becomes royalty free. It's a free image that anyone can download. So you can go there and browse through the different hashtag challenges that are there and potentially find some imagery that you want to download on your phone and make use of as stock photo imagery for various purposes on your phone or tablet. So the app is actually called Quest. It's only for iOS at this point, but I played with it some. I think it's pretty slick. I uploaded a couple of pictures there, and I downloaded a couple as well. So a good source. It's just random, not so much that you can, go there to find specific things, but you can be open to the possibilities that they might share something, have a hashtag that would be appropriate for your use.
And sometimes you're looking at photos and they're just inspiration there. So you have an opportunity to kind of think through, and that's a really neat concept. I've not heard of that. I'm gonna try that out.
It's really fun because you can shake your phone and just get a random hashtag come up.
Oh, cool. So Sally, here's the big question of the day. Do you use clip art?
Absolutely, I use clip art. There's certainly time for that. It's kind of like you were describing, those vector-based images or illustrations, and there are times when I want some kind of little clip art or icon or something small to use in some kind of project. And the way that I get that is I typically go to openclipart.org and do a search there. And let's see what my clock search turns up there. And they're not all just line-based drawings, black and white. There's color clip art as well, and pages of them. So lots of different clip art around clocks here on clip art, openclipart.org.
You're on a clock kick.
I am. I want to get done with this. What time is it? No rush. But yeah, openclipart.org is a great site. There's another one called Clicker. And then Icon Finder is one that I use quite often to find little icons to use on different projects and things. So all of those are great options.
One site that we don't have on here that I have seen used in the past and have used myself on occasion is churchart.com. They have a monthly charge, and you get unlimited access. It just depends on what your needs are for some of these services. So we'll put that in the show notes as well. I thought of that because they kind of have a pretty good selection of clip art. Basically, their tagline is the art of church communication. So they kind of major in newsletters, those kinds of things. And that's maybe an area where clip art is potentially useful, because you have some limitations on, if you're still printing your newsletters, what you can put in there. It's very difficult to put a photo in a church newsletter if you're just running this through the copier and have that look, have that turn out well. So
that's a great one. So I needed one more thing to type.
Yep. Sorry.
There you go. Nope. All good.
Hey, you have the mobile category. I can throw at least one more in.
Yeah, there you go. Recently, Martin, we did feature an article that might be worth revisiting.
Yeah.
It was titled "A Short Discussion on Stock Photography." And I don't know, it's been within the last month or so that someone tagged this article and recommended it to us, and we found it quite insightful about why use, stock photography and how to avoid the cheesiness of it, I think, is a lot of what they're addressing, what to be careful of, what kind of standards you should apply to yourself as you're choosing good stock imagery.
Very helpful.
I think we're
off to a great start, Sally. Lots of resources, like you said. Your fingers will be flying over the keyboard this evening, getting all these resources there. But our listeners and viewers win in this case, because if you are interested in looking for stock photography or clip art, those kinds of things, we've done a nice little roundup here. So now is as good a time as any, Sally, to talk about next week. We want to kind of keep with that theme. So we talked about stock photography this time. Next week, we're going to talk about good old photography, where you take out that camera, and it can be a smartphone-based camera or your DSLR or whatever it is that you're taking pictures with. And some of the things, some of the considerations for using your own photography, and some tips and tricks to do that. So that'll be next week. But before,
looking forward to that.
Yeah, I am too. I took a lot of pictures over a short little weekend vacation I took, and learned a lot in the process as well. So let's move on to our picks of the week segment.
And my pick of the week is actually photography centric. So it definitely ties to next week's show. Maybe I should have saved it for next week. But I'll have something good for next week too. This is my favorite go-to site for cool photography gifts. It's photojojo.com. And they just have some really unique things to enhance your photography, and it's for all types of photography, just like you said, from the smartphone to the DSLR and all in between. I have a father-in-law who loves photography, and I've bought him mugs that look like an expensive lens for your camera, a true looking lens, but it's actually a mug that you can drink your coffee out of. Just a wide variety here, enhancements for your iPhone camera, tripods, special, I really like this, they call it engineer prints, where for $25, that includes shipping and everything, you can get your photos 3 foot by 4 foot in this low res kind of black and white look, pretty cool looking for $25, all inclusive. So just a variety of products that are all around the love of photography and really neat things that you can do with photography. So a good place to just kind of get inspired or think outside the box a little with what they have to offer. They also have a university section, and they offer this one course. It's called Phonography 101. It has to do with taking great pictures using your smartphone, and it's a $10 course. And the cool thing is, you get a free $10 gift card to their website when you're done with it. So technically, you get your money back if you have something you want to shop for on their website. But they offer 8 different topics, just getting started, looking at composition, lighting, experimental lighting, creative effects, tools, editing, and sharing. And they have some examples here of some really cool pictures that their alumni of their course have taken. So I think that would be a fun way to learn more about taking pictures with your smartphone. And I think their site is a fun place to shop for your favorite photographer, a unique gift. So photojojo.com.
Very nice. I've been the recipient of one of those gifts from you, Sally. That was that was neat. Okay, my pick of the week also does not apply specifically to stock photography, but it applies to both photography and image editing, which we're going to cover in a few weeks from now. And that is something from Adobe. And Adobe has put together a package that is very appealing and very affordable for somebody getting serious about photo editing and management. And that is through their Adobe Creative Cloud service. They call it their photography package. So for $10 a month, basically $9.99 a month, you get a copy of Lightroom, which is the photo management tool I use. And it's not just management, but there's a lot of editing that can go on, retouching that can go on with Lightroom. And then maybe the mother of all image editing software, Photoshop. So those two products, all for $9.99 a month. Really just you can do almost anything that you would want with a photo. So if you're into that and maybe take your own photos and want to tweak, crop, get images out of the background, or basically any kind of color correction or image correction that you'd like to do, these are the tools to use. Again, you can leave the program at any time, but for $9.99 a month, you have the ability to get some really high-end tools. There's other things that come along with that, but those are the two heavy hitters in this Creative Cloud photography package. There really are no better tools out there. So if you're getting serious about it, maybe consider buying it for a month. See if that fits a need that you have. There's all kinds of learning resources, and this is kind of the top of the heap at a pretty affordable price if you're getting serious about that stuff. So that's Adobe Creative Cloud Photography Package.
Very good. I am kind of ashamed to admit, but I've never invested the time to learn Photoshop. Are you a Photoshopper, Martin?
I am. Yeah. Been for a long time, because I've done a lot of graphic design in the past. I don't do as much right now, but there was a time in my career where I spent a lot of time in Photoshop, and it was really the only tool to use. And now I use Lightroom a lot with all the photos that I take, at least the ones that are worth keeping and maybe doing a little correction for. And anytime you take raw photos, and we'll talk about that next week when we talk about photography, you need a tool like that to do some tweaking of exposure and, you know, shadows and white balance and those kinds of things. You have a really unending capabilities to modify your photos and make them look like you want to. So
awesome. Very good.
So that is my tip or pick of week. Sally, we should move on to community feedback.
Yeah, and it's actually been a couple of weeks since we've tackled community feedback. There was some discussion out on the Wells Tech listserv. That's our email group, and if you aren't a part of it, you should be, because I would say you'd be joining about, what, maybe 800 like-minded techies out there in the Wells world who are eager to share their experience and expertise as people raise questions and things. Good example, our friend Pastor Rob Gunther wrote to the listserv, and he said, we're considering getting 2 projectors for the front of church at his church there at Grace in Kenai, Alaska. He said one company suggested 2 big screen TVs at $4,000 each and another $700 or so for wiring and labor. Seemed a bit pricey and maybe out of their price range, actually. And he says the Troxel rep, who is Chris Hunt, who was at Wells Tech Conference, had made him think about maybe bulbless projectors instead, using LEDs instead of the traditional bulbs. And then maybe even doing the Apple TV route. And so his questions were really around the use of Apple TV and how he could communicate with it and what types of wiring he would need to do and things like that. And just as I expected, the listserv came through for Pastor Gunther, especially Pastor Teacher James Monkey, who is at, I want to say, in Alaska.
Yep.
That's right. And he replied with all kinds of answers to Pastor Gunther's questions. I'm just flashing it up on the screen here, but you couldn't ask for a better response than this lengthy help that James offered. And others replied as well with ideas and directions for Pastor Gunther to explore. So just a great example of how the listserv really supports your tech questions in a lot more detail than Martin and I are able to do. So please do check out the link in the show notes and join the listserv if you haven't. And if you're interested in projection and possibly Apple TVs as a solution, then this thread of the listserv will be right up your alley. So check it out. Next up, I just wanted to share a little bit of fun feedback that we got from our friends at Text Expander. You might remember, Martin, last week you had a great pick for us, thanks to Pastor Emil Burgess, who had come up with snippets for Text Expander for all the different hymns in the Christian worship hymnal. So I tweeted about that last week and said that Wells Tech comes to you from Synod Convention in Saginaw, Michigan with hymns for Text Expander and Phrase Express. And Text Expander replied kind of tongue-in-cheek, thanks for the shout-out. A little disappointed you didn't mean hymns about Text Expander, though. So I thought that was pretty funny. So, yeah, we were maybe singing their praises a little bit, but the hymns were from Christian worship.
Emil is listening or watching. There's a challenge for you. We need a hymn about Text Expander.
Yeah, that would be fun.
That would be.
One more I'll mention, and unfortunately I think my mind map has crashed on me. I can't exactly read the email that I got from Brent Nolte.
I've got it right here. He said, it was great talking to you at convention. I wanted to let you know about a tool for people to learn more about their neighbors. This would be for personal use, not congregational use. There's a social network called Nextdoor.com that is designed for the people of a neighborhood to connect online. It is restricted to those who live in that neighborhood. We have had one here for a while. It is still lagging, but we are getting more people involved. It might be something to suggest to individual members as a way to learn more about your cocooned neighbors in Christ, Brent Nemers.
There you go. Nextdoor.com. I thought that was a great idea for just, you know, being a friend and getting to know your neighbors and in a way, being able to let your light shine to them.
Yeah, so I think that is absolutely a ministry resource. So thank you, Brent, for sharing that. Pretty cool.
Yep. That's what I've got for community feedback.
And Sally, if other people wanted to give us some feedback, how would they do that?
Oh, that's super easy to do. They just need to skate on over to wellstech.wells.net. We've set up the website with a whole host of social media links along the top, so you can connect with us on your favorite social channel. You can leave a comment right here on the website, and you can even send us a voicemail by clicking the magic button over on the right and recording your voicemail right into your computer microphone. We'd love to include your voice on Wells Tech. It's always boring when it's just me and Martin, so please do comment.
Very good. We already kind of spilled the beans, Sally, on what we're doing next week. Again, photography. We do this little show every Tuesday afternoon, 4 o'clock Central. If you go to wellstechlive.wells.net, you can tune in, watch or listen to us live, and ask your own questions or give us some comments of your own if you've got experiences with the subject at hand, and in this case, photography. So come around to wellstechlive.wells.net next Tuesday afternoon. We'd love to have you. Sally, I think we're going to put a wrap on this one for this week. Thanks to all of our Wells Tech listeners and viewers. Love having you guys, and hope to see you again next week. Bye-bye.